Verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Actually, I'll change my mind. Yeah, pleasure. As we invite Ian up, let's just say a prayer for him. Sovereign Father, we thank you. We thank you for the words you've given Ian. And we ask that our ears, minds and hearts and souls are open to these words as he speaks the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andy, for our reading. Thank you, Tim, for leading. I think Tim's eager to sing the next song, but we're just putting it off for a moment. That's lovely. You should have all had a copy of the Vanity as you came in, so I hope you've got one of those, have you? There we go, Harry. Lovely. I just thought this was really appropriate for today, so I'm going to ask that we say this together. Come, let us sing to the Lord our God. Raise the roof to the rock of rescue. Come into the presence of the Lord with thanks. Raise the rafters with songs of praise. The Lord is the great God over all, greater than every other power. He holds the depths of the earth in his hands, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The ocean is the Lord's. It was made by God. The land was formed by his own hands. Come, let us bow before the Lord our Maker. With humble hearts we worship God. The Lord is his, and we are his. We are the shepherd's very own flock. Lovely. Lovely. Well, thank you for saying that together. The Veniti. Very traditional, and it's a call to worship. And the actual words, Veniti, it's the Latin for the opening line, the opening words, Veniti exultamus domino, come let's sing to the Lord. And it's a psalm, of course, it's number 95 in the Psalter. It's a call to worship God. We used to say it in the old-fashioned matins, the old morning prayer on Sunday mornings and weekday mornings and so on. But I think it's very appropriate for today, the festival of Christ the King, because Christ is the Lord of all, and he's worthy of our worship. Have a look at the words, if you would. It starts by saying we can sing to the Lord our God. And isn't that a blessing and a privilege? I know Tim loves to sing and worship the Lord in song. We have souls to connect to God, don't we? We have hearts and voices to sing. And singing does something. It touches our hearts in a way that other things just don't reach. And I think it's such a shame on songs of praise on the telly or even in church when people are not joining in, when you see them just standing there without singing. Even if you're not a great singer, you can still join in and make a joyful noise to the Lord. It goes on to say, raise the roof to the rock of rescue. Raise the rafters with songs of praise. I mean, okay, we don't want to actually damage the fabric of the building, otherwise Andrew would have a go at us. But worship should be joyful and enthusiastic. I think we're a bit reticent about this in Britain. We look down our noses sometimes at the happy clappy folk waving their arms in the air. Jane said, you don't give the impression that you look down your nose. No, I don't. No, I think it's great. A bit of enthusiasm in worship. But people sometimes say they find religion cold and boring because they see folk in church not joining in. We need a bit more oomph, I think, in our faith. Okay, how do we begin then? It says, come into the presence of the Lord with thanks. Well, that's not a bad way to begin, is it? It says, the Lord is the great God over all, greater than every other power. So we can begin by thanking God, thanking him for who he is, his character, his nature, and for what he's done. We read our Bibles, we look back, perhaps in the sharing time even, and say, thank you, God, for what you've done in the lives of people. In the Bible, people were in awe of God. The gods of other nations around them had a limited sphere of influence. Maybe they were the gods of a particular town, and if you like, they lost their power outside that town. Or maybe they were gods of just one aspect of life, like they gave rain on the fields and the crops and so on. But the God of Israel is the maker of heaven and earth, the great God over all, greater than every other power. So wouldn't you be glad to be on his side, to be a friend of God? It goes on to say, he holds the depths of the earth in his hands, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The ocean is the Lord's. It was made by God. The land was formed by his own hands. In other words, the psalm's explaining that God's power is unlimited. His sphere of influence includes everything, from the lowest depths to the highest heights, at sea or on land. I happen to be reading the book of Jonah this week, the story of Jonah, you know, how he was swallowed by the whale or the big fish or whatever. And chapter 2 begins like this. It says, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God." I love that. Jonah discovered that he couldn't run away from God, that wherever he ran to, God would keep up with him and catch him. But the positive side of that was that even under the ocean, even inside the belly of a fish, he could still call to God and God answered him. I don't know if you watch Saving Lives at Sea, the RNLI program on telly, and every week features somebody praying for help at the point of death, and a big orange boat or a man lowered from the sky on a wire comes to rescue them. It's brilliant, isn't it? That image of rescue and salvation, saving people from death. The psalm goes on, "Come, let us bow before the Lord our Maker. With humble hearts we worship God." The right response when we stand before God is worship, giving him our worth and honour. Worship literally means worth-ship, giving God what he is worth, bowing down in submission and humility. Now, some might say, "Hang on, Vicar, doesn't that show weakness?" Well, the world does sometimes think that way, doesn't it? That you ought to stand upright, be confident, be bullish towards everybody. Trouble is, that may work with your peers, with your equals, but it really doesn't work before God. With God, actually, I think it works the other way around. If you serve and worship him, then he protects you. He gives you his strength. And nothing in the end can stand against God. Nothing in the end can harm you. The psalm goes on, "The Lord is God and we are his. We are the shepherd's very own flock." We belong to him. And worshipping him is our strength. Now, today is the Sunday next before Advent, also called Christ the King. So it's the day when the church year kind of turns from one year to the next. Since back in Easter and Ascension and Pentecost, we've been thinking about the early Christians in Acts and how we should live as followers of Jesus in the world. In the past few weeks, since All Saints' Day, we've been focusing on what it means to be citizens of heaven, people of the kingdom of God. And that's why, actually, it's the season for memorial services, for Remembrance Sunday, for thinking about those loved ones that we remember personally, and about those who've laid down their lives for king and country, and also about the believers who've gone before us, what we call the communion of saints. And today is called Christ the King, when we focus on Jesus exalted to the throne of heaven, seated in glory at the right hand of the Father, a flesh and blood human being like you and me, in the place of greatest power and authority in the creation. And today is also called the Sunday next before Advent, because next week is Advent Sunday. Next week we begin to think about Christ's return, his second coming, which might feel quite imminent when you watch the news because of all the wars and the fighting that's going on in the world at the moment. And of course, Advent is also the preparation for Christmas, thinking too of Christ's incarnation, his birth at Bethlehem. So today, in this season, the right thing for us to do is to respond to the call to worship. We belong to God, the maker of heaven and earth. We are the sheep of his hand, cared for by the good shepherd. We belong to Christ the King, whose birth we celebrate at Christmas, and who is coming again to save his people. Amen.